In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God has a plan. The enemy tries to block God's plan. Do you know that? The enemy tries to hinder God's plan. So we're going to talk about this morning about how to stop the devil from hindering you. How to stop the devil from hindering you. I said, how to stop the devil from hindering you. The first thing you got to know is make sure that you ain't the devil. I said, the first thing you got to know is to make sure that you're not the devil. And I say that kind of jokingly, but seriously too. What do you mean? Sometimes we flat hinder ourselves, and they don't have to be no devil to hinder us, to stop us at nothing, because we don't walk in what we know, because we're not doing what the Lord has already told us to do, then we actually hinder the plan of God from taking place in our life. So we can't blame everything on the devil. So let's make a disclaimer right up front. Don't try this at home. Practice it in your spiritual life. But the first thing you got to do is make sure you're not hindering God's plan. Make sure you're walking in what you know. What makes sure that you're walking in the Word of God. Because if you are hindering the plan of God in your life, then the devil doesn't have to hinder you. He can just go on vacation if he takes one, you know, and lay up on the beach somewhere or go to the mountains and stay in the cabin and look at the beautiful view. That's what he can do. But just make sure that you're not helping the devil stop for you from doing what God called you to do. But having said that, there is a real devil, and we're not here to blow him up. We'll just tell the truth about the devil. There's a lot of erroneous, false doctrine about the devil and what the Word of God says about the devil, and we don't want to get into false doctrine. We want to stay right in the middle of the road, and we want to stay balanced when it comes to devils, demons, and evil spirits. One erroneous doctrine is this. The doctrine is simply that the devil does not exist and that Christians have made up some kind of, figure they call the devil, and they blame everything that's bad on the devil to keep from blaming it on God, but really it's God that causes all the good and causes all the bad that's in the earth, and it's all God's fault. You know what that is? That's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. Don't make me bring my hogwash here, you know. You probably saw it if you saw the DVD. There is such a thing as hogwash. Brother Hagin kept telling us for years about hogwash, and nobody believed it existed, but I proved he was right. But it's the truth. The devil does exist, you know, and that he's out there. God does not do evil. God is a good God. Now, having said that, there's another side to that message. God will permit you or allow you to be in circumstances so that you've got to overcome the devil. God will allow you to meet the devil face to face. That don't mean that God is sicking the devil on you, and we're going to talk about all these kind of things this morning, or some of them anyway. God doesn't sick the devil on you, but he permits you to be in situations so you can grow. You're never going to grow as long as everything is easy. Brother Hagin used to call it, as long as everything's going along hunky-dory. You know, nobody grows. It's in your darkest moments as when you grow the most. It's when you're challenged the most. It's when your faith is tested and tried, and you have to believe God whether you want to or not. That's when you grow the most. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. God will permit you or allow you to be in circumstances, situations. Again, he doesn't do bad. The devil does. So the thinking that the devil does not exist, he's just a figmentation. That's a good word you can make up, you know. A figmentation of our imagination, but he really doesn't exist. He's just a figure that some kind of Christian made up years ago and said there's a thing called, or being called, the devil, and they want to blame everything on him. Well, that's not true. There is a real devil. The other extreme, when you get into this, and we're not covering all the era, just the extremes in this, very, very extreme. The other extreme is that everything that goes wrong on the planet is the devil's fault. You know, the wind blows the curtain out of in the window. I bind you, devil. The door slams. You know, I bind you, devil. You trip, you know, when you're walking down through there in the room or something. I bind you, devil. And everything becomes the devil. No, everything is not the devil's fault. Sometimes a lot of things that we get into is our fault. It's like my daddy. old-time Pentecostal preacher with a sixth-grade education, but he was a man that was full of spiritual wisdom. He fell out of the top of this tree. He shouldn't have been up there to start with. My wife had already told him and prophesied to him, "Papa, don't get in them trees." He liked to go deer hunting, and you climb up there, you know, and you sense not to the deer, and he can look out further. Instead of just building a little stand and getting into something safe, you know, he'd build a stand and climb up 5-16 feet further, you know, sat on a limb when he had that. And anyway, he was on a cold morning, and he had sat down on this limb, and the limb was so cold it snapped right off. I mean, there was nothing to grab. He had cut limbs. He had a 30-30 rifle in his hand. It was loaded. And so when he tried to hang on to his gun and grab another limb, but everything was gone, and just in a split second, he fell about 30 feet to the ground and hit flat of his back, and it broke his back in three places. In fact, he laid there from about 10 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening. And the way he finally got out of there, he said, "I knew I was dying. I knew something was wrong, and I was coming out of somewhere up this way, headed back down to Columbus, Georgia. I talked to my brother. My brother sensed something was wrong. My mother didn't know where Daddy was at, except he was hunting on some property that I owned down that way. When I finally got to him, you know, of course, he had already got to the hospital the time I got there. I said, "Daddy, how'd you get out of the woods?" He said, "I knew I was dying laying there in the woods." And he said, "My back, my spine was broke, so I couldn't stand." He said, "So I took my belt off." He broke his left arm. He said, "I took my belt off of my right arm, wrapped it around my chest, and cinched it up so I could hold my rib cage and my backbone." And he walked over a half a mile out to his truck with a broken backbone in three places. Now, when I was up there in the hospital, and I helped the doctor set his hand, I just happened to be there when all this happened. You know, you have to pull the arm back because it was broke. I mean, broke. And so I helped the doctor, you know, pull that thing back in and then set it with a cast because it was late at night. You know, a lot of the staff was gone and all that stuff. But I remember talking to Daddy about it. I said, "Daddy, I said, why did this happen?" He said, "This is what I want you to tell him, Rudy." That was his nickname for me, you know. He said, "This is what I want you to tell him." I said, "What you want me to tell him, Daddy?" He said, "Tell him this is not God's fault." He said, "It's not the devil's fault." He said, "This is man's mistake." He said, "I knew better than to get in that tree." He said, "I had it in my spirit that I should have never got up there. I should have never sat down on that limb." He said, "So the devil didn't do it to me, and God didn't do it to me." He said, "I done it to myself." And my daddy had a good revelation. A lot of things that happen in our life that we want to blame on the devil or blame on somebody else is because it's simply that we have made the wrong choices, we have made our own mistakes, and it's not the devil's fault. Right? So not everything that happens on this earth bad is a devil's fault. Now, of course, directly or indirectly, he's behind every evil that's on this planet. We understand that. Everything bad that ever happens. But a lot of times, we help him by making the wrong choices and wrong decisions. So my daddy had a revelation, and you need to get that revelation. Not everything that happens on this earth that's bad is directly related to the devil. Yes, indirectly, he's behind everything bad. But sometimes we just simply make the wrong choices and decisions and get caught up in the laws as an operation of this earth. And my daddy said the reason he fell about 30 feet out of that tree and broke his back in three places is because of the fact it was man's mistake. And even at his funeral, I preached his funeral because he didn't die because of that. He had no, in fact, he had totally come through the surgeries. They said he would die. And I asked Daddy. I said, "Daddy, I said, do you want to stay here? Are you wanting to go?" You know, he was over there close to 70 years old because I knew he hadn't finished everything, I didn't think. He said, "No, son." He said, "Just hold on to me." And I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant. I had him in the spirit. Mama would call me, you know, and I'd be out on the road. She said, "They said your daddy's fixing to die." I said, "Daddy's not going to die." I said, "Go sit down and be quiet and quit crying." I love my mama. But I said, "Daddy's not going to die." I said, "How do you know? The doctor." I said, "I don't care." He said, "Emory University, the best doctor." I said, "Mama, don't care. Go tell the doctors that his son said that he's not going to die, so quit telling you all that stuff." I said, "He's not going to die until I say he can." Now, don't take that the wrong way. But I had hope to my daddy, and I had his words. He was incoherent. He was unconscious, so he could not fend for himself. But he gave me the authority. He transferred it to me. He knew I believed God. He knew that we knew how to believe God. And I don't say that in pride. But he had taught me that way. He had raised me that way. None of my other brothers or sisters knew how to believe God, that's too goofy. I better shut my mouth on that. You may have some brothers and sisters like that. But anyway, but just make sure you're not like that. So I knew that Daddy wasn't going to die. And then he come through all those surgeries, and he had to do what they call rehab, you know, because all your motor nerves, your muscles and nerves don't function. Your speech is slurred. You can't talk like you normally do. And Daddy had been very active, you know, all of his life, always had some kind of work project going on, never had been lazy, raised us to work all our life. And they had to put him in rehab after he successfully come through all the surgeries where they said he was going to die almost every other day, you know. When he got into rehab and his muscles didn't work, of course, he had to be pushed around in a wheelchair, and Daddy didn't like that. I would go down there to the rehab place when I was in town in Columbus, Georgia. I would take Robert, your pastors here will remember Robert and Rosa Rivera. I'd take Robert with me. And we'd get on each side of Daddy, and Robert wasn't very big, but he was strong. You remember old Robert Rivera, and he's still a friend of mine today. And I'd get on one side of Daddy, and he'd get on the other side, and I said, Daddy, you're going to walk. I said, the doctor said that your body can relearn how to walk. You got to relearn to walk like a baby learns to walk. Your balance and everything's wrong. I said, you're going to walk. And we would about drag him. And then, you know, after a while of us doing this, he would say, I don't want to do this. That's what he'd tell me. I don't want to do this. But I'd go back and I'd just keep on. I just thought, well, I can change his thinking. Because I knew if I didn't change his thinking, I couldn't make him walk. Your head has a lot to do with what your body does. And I had to get my daddy thinking, changing his thinking. So I just kept working on it, kept hitting him hard. And then one day I was there and my mother was sitting there. And we was outside at a picnic table at the rehab center. We're going to turn to scripture hopefully in a minute. But this all has to do with the devil and man's fault and problems. But we're sitting outside of the picnic table at the rehab center. Daddy was sitting there in a wheelchair. And of course, we was about to take him through some of the mechanics that I had taken to. My older brother done the same thing. And little brother was to come see him, try to do the same thing, because we knew that Daddy didn't like that. He was always what you call a self-made man, get out and work. But we were sitting there and discussing these things. And I started talking to Daddy. And I said, well, I'm just going to find out where he's at. I'm going to really locate him. And I started talking to him. And as I talked to him, he said, I don't want to do this. He said, I don't want to live like this. He said, I want to go to heaven. I said, I want to be with Jesus. The Lord said to me in my spirit, release him and let him go. I said, Lord, I don't want to let my daddy go. I said, I know I got a hope to him here. He said, you release him and let him go. So I didn't. I'll be honest. And my mother, I didn't say nothing to Mama because I knew that she couldn't. I went to one of Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin's meetings out in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Winter Seminar, and I was sitting there, and Dr. Hagin stopped while he was teaching on a subject. He called them side journeys. You know how you take him? He said, this don't fit in with nothing that I've got to say, but somebody here needs to hear this. He said, I'm going to take a side journey. He said, y'all mind me of taking a side journey? He said, a lot of times these side journeys help us more than the main subject do. And he said, you know, let me talk to you about death a few minutes. He said, you can let somebody go through the gates of death or the jaws of death. The jaws of death being hard, horrible death. He said, there's somebody here that needs to let somebody go. You're hanging on to them, and if you hang on to them any longer, he said, you're going to allow them and drag this thing out, and they're going through the jaws of death instead of the gates of death. He said, you need to release them and let them go. I knew immediately he was talking about me. I knew I had my answer. That's it. Then he went back to teaching. You know, he said some other things, but he went back to teaching on his main subject. And then as soon as I got through, I went back to where my daddy was at. I told my mama outside before I went in to talk to Daddy, I said, Mother, I said, when I was here last time, I said, the Lord told me to let Daddy go because he wants to go to heaven. Oh, no, she started squalling. Well, I said, I'm fixing to go into his room right now, and I'm going to talk to Daddy. And I said, I'm going to let him go to heaven. And I said, I want you to go with me, and I want you to release him too and let him go. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. We've been married, you know, all these years. And I said, I know that, Mama. I said, but he's going to be better off. I said, he don't want to be here because his body, can God heal? Absolutely. Could God straighten him out? Absolutely. Said, what was hindering? I don't know. I don't know everything, do you? I don't know everything. If I don't know it, I just flat tell you I don't know it. If I know it, then I know it. But in that my daddy's case, I didn't know all of what the deal was or anything, and I didn't have to know. I just knew the Lord said, release him and let him go. So I went in there, and I started talking to daddy. Of course, with tears, I'm sobbing, because I don't want to let daddy go. He, as long as he was on this planet, it didn't matter what kind of devil come my way, he was standing right by my side. And it didn't matter how big the problem was, my daddy was standing right by my side. He knew how to hold me in the spirit and support me in the spirit. He knew how to work in the natural too. And so I talked to him. And he said, yeah. He said, son, I want to go. He said, I don't want to live like this. He said, I know that my body and the Lord can help me get my body back. He said, but I don't want to go through all of this. And he said, I believe that I've done what the Lord told me to do. And I said, well, daddy, he said, I know this. I said, the Lord showed me if you want to go for me to release you. So I did, but mother never would. And then I told my brothers and sister, that daddy's fixing to go home. No physical reason why. I mean, he was healthy and normal every other way. Every other organ, his body was functioning good. Everything was fine. And he was actually getting around a lot better now because we'd worked with him in rehab. We'd worked with him a lot. But one evening there at rehab, my daddy told my mother, he said, Jesus is coming in the morning. He said, Mama Mert, who was my grandmama, we called her Mama. Everybody knew her, called her Mama. She's 4'11". She beat the devil out of you with a frying pan, though, She's already in heaven. And then Pawpaw Greer, who I barely remember, about 12 years old, he went to heaven. He was 6'9". My dad was a little short fella, but we got on our height. All us boys was big, a lot bigger than daddy. But we got it from Pawpaw Greer. He was already in heaven. And of course, daddy said to mother, so Jesus is coming in the morning, and daddy's coming, and Mama Mert's coming. That's who he called granny, Mama Mert's coming, and he said, I'm going to heaven. She says, you're out of your mind. What do you mean? You are healthy. She called the nurse in there. Check him out. Check his heart. Oh, he's as healthy, Mr. Greer. You're as healthy as a horse, they'd say, in the country, Ain't nothing wrong with you. You ain't going nowhere. He said, I'm going to heaven in the morning. I'll be here when I go if you want to. He sat up in bed about 2:00 in the morning, started singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Then he broke into that little chorus, Hallelujah. Started singing that and worshiping God, got so happy. He was clapping his hands and he was a shouting. And the nurses came in from rehab on the rehab floor. It's a late shift, They don't have a lot to do, but they came in there. And they told me the story about how it all happened because I wasn't there. I was fixing to go out of town. And they called the nurses in there, and they was worshiping God with him because they were Christian ladies, worshiping God with him. Said, Mr. Greer, you sure are happy. He said, yeah. He said, I'm fixing to go see Jesus. Oh, no, you're healthy as a horse. And he said, no, I tell you, I'm fixing to go see Jesus. He said, he's right over there right now. He said, I'm going to be with Jesus. And they said, all of a sudden, they had to go about their duties, and all of a sudden, they heard him get quiet about an hour later, and they went back to check on him, and he was gone. He said, I'm going, and he went. Said, the Lord's going to take me when my time comes. You a lying? I said, you a lying. And I say that kindly, but I want to shock you. The Lord's going to take you when you get satisfied. The Bible says in Psalm 91, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. One of the biggest false doctrines in the church today is the Lord's going to take you. The Lord ain't going to take you nowhere. You make the decision as to whether you stay here or whether you go from here. It's up to you. So what about people that die prematurely? That's a whole other message in itself. You make the wrong steps, wrong choices, and then you can leave prematurely, but we don't want to. Isn't that right? We want to stay on the right side. But anyway, I told all that about Daddy. But Daddy said, this is not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's man's mistake. Daddy went to heaven, though, because Daddy made the choice that he wanted to go. There was no physical reason. Why? I preached his funeral at the funeral. I told him exactly what Daddy said. Daddy said, a lot of people wonder, why does this die? I knew why Daddy went on. He said, this is not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's man's mistake. And then another thing, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, why did Daddy go at 69? He was 69, fixing to be 70. I said, why did Daddy go at 69 years old? And the Lord said, son, he said, he didn't have to. He said, but he wanted to. He said, but another thing is, he said, I had finished with him what I wanted to do on the earth. He said, based on your daddy's educational ability, he had a sixth grade education, so if you don't get a better education, you can't stay here long. I'm joking. But it may shock some of the little ones into reality here. You think you're going to drop out of school, you better drop into school. You better get your lessons. Don't make me come over there either. And I expect you to do good in school. But daddy had sixth grade education, and he said, based on what your daddy understood, he said he'd done the best he could. And he said, I've finished. He's finished his course just like Paul. In fact, he gave me that sermon. The same message that Paul said, I've kept the faith, finished my course, and there's laid up a crown for me in glory. And he went to heaven. And I told all his kinfolk, because all the kinfolk, heathens and everybody, moonshine makers and everything, showed up for daddy's funeral. Because daddy had helped most of them in their lifetime somewhere, somehow. Daddy had helped them all, you know. And they all showed up, the moonshiners and all. I'm talking about, I ain't joking. Moonshiners. Still making moonshine when my daddy went to heaven. I said, still making moonshine in the swamps of Georgia. All them moonshiners and all that stuff. And I led every one of them to the sinner's prayer whether they wanted to or not. I made them. I made them pray it because I knew they wasn't going to come forward, you know. And because that bottle of moonshine might fall out of your pocket while they're at the altar or something, you know. But daddy went to heaven because he made the choice. Ladies and gentlemen, you're more in charge of your destiny on this planet than you've ever realized. You're in charge. So when it comes to demonic forces, you even have authority over them. You thought we weren't going to turn to the Bible, but we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, all of that's introduction. Just think, if we ever read Scripture, boy, we sure are going to get out there. But all these side journeys, it's actually related to what I'm talking about. But, you know, how to stop the devil from hindering you to accomplishing God's plan. Yes, daddy actually made a mistake climbing the tree because he said this is not God's fault, it's not the devil's fault, it's man's mistake. So he probably left here prematurely because he didn't have to leave, even though the Lord, maybe he had accomplished his mission, but he didn't have to leave because in Psalm 91, the Bible says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Well, based on what the principles of God's Word said, 69 is not it's not long, long life. You know what I mean? I mean, you lived on out there some, but it's still not the end. I mean, you can go on out there according to the Word of God. But we do have hindering forces, and we talked about these hindering forces and erroneous thoughts about the devil doesn't exist. That's not true. Then the other erroneous thought that everything that bad is the devil's fault, and that's not necessarily true either. Yes, indirectly, he's behind every bad thing. But many times we make wrong choices and get our own self in a mess. And that's, you know, we don't want to shout about it and face the reality of it, but it's the truth. We are responsible for the outcome of our life when it really comes down to it. But the truth about the matter, when you come to the middle of the road and you say, what does the Bible say about the devil, demons, evil spirits, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. Daddy used to call him Slewfoot, you know. But anyway, whatever you want to call the devil, what is the truth, you know? The truth about the devil doesn't exist, that's wrong. The other fact that people say, well, everything that happens is the devil's fault, that's wrong. But when you come to the Bible, middle-of-the-road truth, and that's where we want to stay, what is the truth about the devil? The truth about the devil is that he does exist, that he has a right, according to the Bible, to be on this planet for a certain period of time. The day is going to come that the Bible says that the devil is going to be bound with chains and cast down for 1,000 years. But until that time comes, he has a right to be here. But the other truth about that is that Jesus Christ defeated the devil. The Bible says he made a show of him openly and triumphing over him in all evil. Wherever the devil was at when Jesus was on this planet, every time he encountered the devil, he always was victorious over any devil, demon or evil spirit that come against him. Even when the devil stirred up the wind and the waves and he was in the ship, remember, he said to the wind and waves, peace be still, and there was what? A great calm. God wasn't the one that was causing the storm. It was a devil trying to destroy them all out there in the ship. When Jesus even came to death itself, and Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days, and they told him by this time he stinks, you know. Don't be taking away the stone. But Jesus spoke and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He conquered the powers of darkness that had taken Lazarus to the grave. Every person that he came in contact with, even the madman of Gadara, that nobody knew how to work with in his day. They said they couldn't tame him in the old King James Version. In other words, they would bind him with chains, and he was so supernaturally empowered by these demons, he could break the chains. He would run around with no clothes on, cutting himself with stones, being in torment because these demons possessed him. But when Jesus came in contact with this man, he realized he was demon-possessed, cast the devils out of him, got him set free and in his right mind. Isn't that right? Everywhere Jesus went, he triumphed over the devil. So the truth, the real truth, the Bible truth, is the devil does exist, but Jesus Christ has defeated him, and you can walk out that victory in your life if you simply practice the principles of God's Word. So how to stop the devil from hindering you? Number one, make sure you're not the devil. I've said for years, if you look like the devil, if you smell like the devil, and you act like the devil, you is the devil. That's all he is to it. I said, number one, make sure that you're not the devil. You know what I mean by that. Not literally the devil, but make sure you're not helping him defeat you. In other words, straighten out your own life. Get into the Word of God. Get what it says. We've got some CDs and books and stuff later we'll be getting out at halftime this morning. I was running a little bit behind. But I think I've got some CDs, I don't know for sure because they've been going real fast, about how to develop the character of God. If you want to really get after it, I've got a single CD called How to Develop the Character of God that'll really, really be a benefit to you because it tells you some simple truths. It's not everything, but it gets you going in the right direction about developing the character of God. So the first thing you got to know, how to stop the devil from hindering the plans of God for your life. Number one, make sure you're not the devil. In this sense, make sure you're not working with him against you. In other words, make sure you got to stand, you're doing what's right. And then there's another side to that message, and that is this. The grace and mercy and blood of Jesus that we sang about this morning is there always to wash us and cleanse us from our sins. If we slip and trip, make a mistake, he'll forgive us. And thank God for it. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So don't lay and grovel in something you've missed it in the past in. Just repent of it, get up and go on in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But in 2 Corinthians, did you ever get there? Chapter number 12. Let's read something that Paul said. Remember point one in this message. And I took a long time on point one, but you know, we're going to be here for a while, so you just hang on. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said, it is doubtless, and let me go ahead and warn you in advance. I've got one of these highfalutin now, New King James Version Bibles. You know, and what happened is that somebody gave it to me. Notice it's not even a case right now. Because I had the Amplified on one side in my old parallel Bible, had the Amplified on one side in the old King James Version, and I happened to mention to a pastor friend of mine one time, and I said, if they ever come out with a new King James Version with the Amplified, I said, I'll get it. Well, he got me this Bible, so now I'm trying to break it in. So all these words are new to me. But they're, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Notice he said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Visions and revelations of the Lord. That's two categories. Visions and revelations are two categories that operate through the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A revelation is something that you receive from God, and it can be a fact or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that just comes to you, and you just know that you know in your spirit that God has revealed that to you. But what a vision is when you see something spiritually in the spirit, God reveals to you a vision, and then he gives you the spiritual interpretation of what you are seeing in the vision. And many times, the way we start off in God leading us, we start off with a revelation. And then, if God chooses to, he can promote us and take us on to visions and revelations. Paul said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Two different categories, visions and revelations. But a vision, to tell you the truth about it, is no good without a revelation of what you're seeing. And not everything that you see is from the Lord. Not everything. Some things the devil does. Remember, the devil took Jesus up on a pinnacle of the temple and showed him the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. He said, bow down and worship me. And also, the devil can play in that arena too. That's why if you're going to have visions and revelations, you need to walk close to the Word and know what the Word of God says and know what's God and what's the devil. You know what I mean? But he said, I will come to visions and revelations. So revelation again, it's an intuition, an inner knowing, a fact, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom where God reveals to you something. You don't see anything, you don't have any vision, and you don't have to. It's just as good, it's just as powerful as having a vision. But a vision is where you actually see something, either with the eyes of your spirit. There are three types of visions, but we're not going into that right now. But you see something with the eyes of your spirit, and then the Lord gives you the revelation of what you are seeing, and it just makes it more powerful and more real to you. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul said in verse 2, he said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, now this man that he's talking about in Christ 14 years ago, all Bible scholars agree that the Apostle Paul was talking about himself, and that was literally, he was having this experience, but he was such a humble man that he didn't want to brag about the experience that he had. He said, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows such a one caught up to the third heaven. You got the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. All I say is don't get caught between the two. If you go into heaven, make sure you go all the way to the third heaven. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. Verse 3 says, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. In other words, he didn't know if he was in the natural, if it was a real experience, of what happened. He didn't know if it was vision format. He don't know if he had left his body or he was still in his body. It was such a supernatural experience. Verse 4, how he's caught up into paradise, we would call it heaven, and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Notice he said inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. You know, not everything that God shows you should you reveal to somebody else. Not everything that God shows you should you reveal to somebody else. Somebody said, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Granny said, you need to keep your mind. If you don't have something to work with up there, people are going to sing that song over you. They're coming to take them away. They're coming to take them away. So not everything God reveals to you should you say to somebody else. Brother Hagin said this. He said, I know a lot of things that I've never told anybody. Well, I don't say this in pride. I know things, and the Lord reveals to me things periodically that I never say a word about. That message that the Lord gave me about the Reformation, the church split, I think you saw it on DVD, some of the things that I said on DVD. Well, the Lord talked to me about that in September of 2007. But he said, don't say anything publicly about it. He said, I'm just showing you this so you can prepare and get ready for it. But on August the 4th of 2009, the Lord said, now it's time to say it. And I've learned something about the Lord. If you say something that he told you not to say anything about, it'll be a while before he talks to you again. He expects some things to be held in confidence. Just like when you talk to somebody in confidence, you don't expect them to go out spreading everything that you're telling them and telling all your gory details and everything you've done wrong, especially if it's something you're trying to deal with in your own personal life. I know you're trying to act like you got angel wings and don't apply to you. You know what I mean? And maybe you do. But he said he heard things which is not lawful for a man to utter. It says, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Notice he says, I don't want to say these things because people may think more than they should about me, you know, and think that I'm somebody and something. He didn't want nobody to do that. But verse 7 said, and this is what I was trying to get you to. Verse 7 says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. What is the revelation? It's a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, a fact, or a word of wisdom from the mind of God to your spirit. It didn't necessarily have a vision with it. But he said, abundance of the revelations, says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now this thorn in the flesh that Paul said was given to me here in the New King James Version has stuck more people in the body of Christ throughout the church age than any other thorn or thorn bush that you've had in your yard or out in the swamp when you was walking. This thorn has stuck a lot of folks because a lot of folks immediately stopped right there where it says a thorn was given to me, and immediately assumed it was sickness and disease. Some go as far as to say, because Paul said in one place something about his eyes and had nothing to do with sickness, that Paul had an incurable eye disease and that pus was running out of his eyes. And he said, Brother Randy, that's fine. I know, but that's what these people say. But this is not talking about any kind of disease, eye disease, physical disease, or any kind of disease at all. This thorn in the flesh that Paul was talking about is clearly identified and defined right here in the same scripture. Amen? So you don't want to get stuck by this thorn. There was not sickness and disease that came on Paul. Verse 7 says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. What is this thorn in the flesh? Paul defines it. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What was it, the thorn in the flesh? A messenger of Satan. What is a thorn in the flesh? What is a thorn in the flesh? Say it loud, bold. Messenger of Satan. So this is a demon spirit was sent to do what? Buffet me. And I know now that we got chapter and verse to go to the buffet today. Because he said, buffet me. Satan, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. No, I don't think he's talking about that, do you? But a messenger of Satan to buffet me, unless I be exalted above measure. He said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Let's stop and just examine that statement. First of all, you got to think about, well, where did this devil come from? Somebody said, I know. Said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. We know this thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan, which is a demon spirit, an evil spirit, demonic force that's there. Said, where did this thing come from? Somebody said, I know. God told his demon spirit to go attack Paul. God did. Well, if God told the demon spirit to go attack Paul, God and the devil has changed jobs. God sent Jesus to deliver you from all the works of darkness, not sick the devil on you, but to destroy the devil wherever you go. Isn't that right? So it wasn't God that turned this demon out against Paul to attack Paul. So if it wasn't God that caused this demon to attack Paul, then who was it? I'll tell you who it was. It was Beelzebub, Satan, the devil. Said, old Paul over there is telling them people the truth. He is exposing the reality of who I am. Because up till this day, nobody knew about the devil and understood about the devil. They knew something about him, but they didn't understand the depth and the authority that they had over him because Jesus Christ had died, shed his blood, of course, buried, and rose again the third day and gave us authority over the devil. Isn't that right? Well, ever since that time, Paul was preaching when he was called and telling people, you got victory over the devil. You know, and you don't have to be submitted to him anymore. So the devil himself is the one that gave this assignment to another demon to go attack Paul. So what happened? Most of the time, wherever Paul went, people would come and they would start riots. They would oppose him. These people were inspired by demon forces to oppose Paul and the message that he preached. In fact, one time they stoned Paul and left him for dead. And his disciples are standing around him and wondering, what are we going to do now? All of a sudden, the spirit of life came in Paul. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And he stood up and said, come on, boys, let's go preach somewhere else. That's what it says in the Bible. I'm just paraphrasing good country talk so you can understand it. But Paul said, come on. But it was a demon spirit and demons and inspired people to attack Paul. It's right. It wasn't God that was trying to stop the message that Paul was preaching. But guess what? And I got news for you. Somebody said, well, I got an excuse now. I know why I can't accomplish God's plan. Because I got that same devil, probably 16 more than Paul did, coming against me. Listen, I don't want to pump the air out of your balloon. You know what I mean? I don't want to pull you back down out of your ivory spiritual castle. But you didn't write approximately 3/4 of the New Testament. So it's probably not going to take the same devil that come against Paul to come against you. Most of the time, I'm smiling. Most of the time, it's low-level devils that come out of the peanut butter jar that knock most Christians out. You don't have to be no big devil, just a little bitty one. One you could thump and knock away, you know what I mean? But that wouldn't be you. That's why you want to get the recording for somebody else. Y'all want to run out there and get them 10 things while you can. Because you know this message is for your neighbor. It couldn't be for you. You know what I mean? But it's the truth about the matter. So the Satan had assigned his biggest and best against Paul. Why? Because Paul was going to record revelation in his day. He said, I'm going to come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And he did. And he gave us revelation that nobody else had ever given, nor did anyone else receive on this planet but Paul. So you could imagine that there was big demons that had come against Paul. And these forces came against Paul. But guess what? They could not stop him. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, unless I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8 said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, Paul is saying, when I don't know what to do, when I am buffeted by these demonic forces that come to me, and I don't know which way to go, I can stand in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can say, Lord, I thank you that you have equipped me, that you've empowered me, and that you've enabled me. And according to Philippians chapter 4, what is it, verse 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, down there somewhere? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Lord revealed to him how he's got supernatural power and authority over the devil. And so in the end of God working in Paul's life, and at the end of Paul's ministry, he said, I have fought a good fight. Yes. I have kept the faith. In other words, the devil did not stop him from accomplishing his mission and ministry on this earth. What God assigned Paul to do, Paul fulfilled it all. And he said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness in the heavens. So if the devil couldn't stop Paul, guess what? He certainly can't stop you. In the end, Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I fought a good fight. What did he fight? He wouldn't talk about natural. He was talking about the fight of faith. Standing, believing that God was with him when it looked like that everybody had abandoned him. Kept thinking that God is on my side. Kept believing that God is on my side when everybody forsook him. He kept standing. Because he knew that the Lord said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. I'll give you strength. So in the end, he said, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So guess what? The devil cannot stop you from finishing your course. So point two in the message today is know that Satan can never stop you from accomplishing God's plan for your life. You got to know that Satan cannot stop you from accomplishing God's plan for your life. Whatever God has assigned you to do, you can accomplish and fulfill and complete the assignment that God has given to you. Am I saying that there won't be any tests or trials? No, I'm not going to say that. Because Dr. Hagin used to teach us this way. He said, nobody is going to float through life on flowery beds of ease. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be tests. There's going to be challenges. But guess what? You're going to overcome them all. You've got to go at life with whatever comes my way. His grace is sufficient for me today. His ability will put me over. He has strengthened me. He has given me the ability to accomplish the mission that He called me to accomplish. And that's our mentality. That should be our thinking every single day of our life. So just like the devil could not stop Paul, he cannot stop you. And in the end, you can say, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Paul did. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. I know you was waiting for this scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. We have an example of where Paul, the enemy, Satan, tried to hinder Paul and tried to stop Paul from accomplishing the mission that God had called him to, didn't we? But now we're going to see also where Jesus Christ met the same demonic forces or similar forces that Paul did trying to stop him from accomplishing his mission. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Stop right there. Let me read it again. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit, by God Himself, by the Holy Ghost, into the wilderness to be tempted, which means tested, tried, and challenged. Tempted means tested, tried, and challenged by the devil. Who's going to be the testing and trying and challenging? Who's going to do that? The devil. How do you know? The Bible says so. So Jesus was led up by God, by the Holy Ghost, into the wilderness to be what? Tempted, which is tested, tried, and challenged. How? By the devil. So you have to examine this carefully, or you can miss some things that the Holy Ghost is trying to tell us. Jesus was led up by the Spirit of God, by God Himself, into the wilderness to meet the devil face to face. Isn't that right? And I thought the Lord wanted me to overcome. I thought the Father God wanted me to overcome. Why in the world would I meet the devil face to face? Because the Father God knew that the assignment that Jesus had been called to, the purpose that He came to this earth, the reason that He was here on this planet, would never be fulfilled unless He overcame Satan. Satan is the one that was going to be in opposition or opposing the mission that Jesus was called to do. So the first thing, before He was assigned any other thing, the first thing that He was assigned was to go meet the devil face to face. Now, for years, because I didn't know any better and I never heard anybody preach it any differently, I kind of thought, you know, in my mind, that God was sicking the devil on Jesus like you'd sick a hound dog on a rabbit, you know. Go get him, boy. Hey, sick him, get him, you know. Y'all don't know about hunting. Baltimore? I don't know if y'all run any rabbits down the streets of Baltimore or not, but out of the swamps of Georgia, we used to do that. Sick him, go get him. And so for years, because I didn't know any better, that's kind of how the concept. I didn't preach it, but I always thought, well, God was sicking the devil on Jesus. But it wasn't many years ago. It was some back. But the Lord said to me, He said, no. He said, I wasn't sicking the devil on Jesus. He said, I was sicking Jesus on the devil. So the first thing that God wants to do with you, when you get wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus, and filled with the Holy Ghost, is He wants to throw you right in the devil's den. Most of you didn't even know the devil existed till you got saved. And then you started longing for Egypt. My God, let me go back over. I had it better over yonder. No. God permitted you or allowed you to be in a circumstance or situation. Why? Because he wanted you to meet the devil face to face. Why? Because he's already defeated. Jesus Christ defeated the devil. So Jesus was what? Led up by the Spirit to meet the devil face to face. And again, God was not sicking the devil on Jesus. God was sicking Jesus on the devil. And he was telling him in this sense. The first Adam, the Bible talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam is the one that was created in the Garden of Eden. The second Adam was Jesus Christ himself. Everything that the first Adam in the garden had failed to accomplish, the second Adam must accomplish it. So where Adam had failed to defeat the devil in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve both had disobeyed God and pledged allegiance to the devil. The devil whipped them through tests, trials, challenges, and temptation. And he convinced them that if they would follow him, that they would be smarter than God, which absolutely turned out to be wrong. And God had already warned them in advance. So what God was doing, he was sicking Jesus on the devil. So just like he did Adam and Eve in the beginning, and Jesus must come out victorious over the powers of darkness. And guess what? Jesus did. So point three in your message this morning, and you was waiting for point three, wouldn't you? Know this. God is not sicking the devil on you. He is sicking you on the devil. Because he knows that you've got authority over him. But until you understand your spiritual authority, till you overcome him in every challenge and test he comes your way, in the name and blood of Jesus Christ and the word, written word of God, then you're never going to successfully accomplish your mission and fulfill the assignment that God has given to you in this earth. So you're going to have challenges, but you're going to overcome them all. You're going to have tests, but you're going to overcome them all. You're going to be challenged by the enemy, yes, but you're going to be victorious in every situation. How do you know? The same Jesus that was with Paul, where he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's not your strength. It's not your ability, but it's his strength working through you, the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through you, that enables you, empowers you to overcome the devil, where you can stand and laugh. Ha, 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 ha. So I don't feel like laughing, I know. Ha, 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 ha. And then the devil says, what you laughing about? You say, I'm laughing at you. Ha, 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 ha. Well, what are you laughing at me for? The devil would say. Ha, ha, ha. Well, I'm laughing at you because you said I'm not going to make it. Ha, 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 ha. And the devil would respond and say, yes, yes, that's exactly right. You're not going to make it. And you go to laughing again. Ha, 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 ha. And the devil say, what you laughing at now? See, because you said I'm not going to make it, I want to let you know I've already made it. I'm not going to make it. You're right. I have already overcame. You're not going to overcome. You have already overcome. So point four, you must know today that you've already overcome the devil and he's already defeated. He's already defeated. If you go at it like you're going to fight the devil and you're going to do this to the devil, you don't have to. Jesus did it for you. And I know I may seem like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. I'm just talking about this is a progression that you've got to go through. You've got to know that Jesus has already destroyed the works of darkness. He's already overcome him. He's already defeated him. The Bible says in Colossians, he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. And all spiritual truths, Jesus has already conquered the devil. So you must understand and know that. The devil is already defeated, and all you got to do is laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Why? Because you don't have to defeat the devil. I said, you don't have to defeat the devil. He is already defeated. You do not have to defeat the devil. Why? He is already defeated. Now, my brother said it this way. The devil has been defeated, and if he has been defeated, what in the world are you running from him for? If he is defeated, it means he has no feet. D-E-F-E-E-T-E-D. Defeated. You got it? So he can't chase you. Maybe a bad picture, but you get the understanding here. You saw it in vision format anyway. the devil is defeated. And you must understand that, know that. If you go through life fighting the devil, you're going to be wore yourself out. But if you go through life laughing at the devil, you're going to enjoy life as you go. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be challenged, but every time he comes, what do? Just laugh, ha, 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 ha. And they start telling you, what are you laughing about? You just tell him according to what the Word says. Why? Because Jesus defeated Satan. How? For me. Just like he took my place in sin, just like he went to hell for me, just like he shed his blood for me, just like he gave his life for me, well, he conquered the devil for me too. And all I've got to do is embrace that fact, accept that fact, and I say today, with Jesus and with Paul, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because Jesus Christ has already done it for me. So the devil cannot stop you from completing the plans that he's called you to in this life. But you must understand this as you go forward in life. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, let's look at this part because we don't want to leave this out. Verse 11. Verse 1 is when Jesus came face to face with the devil, on down through there. But verse 11, look what happened. It says, then the devil camped out at his house, sat on his shoulder for 16 weeks, beat him amongst the head, ears, and body, knocked him down on the ground and stomped him two or three times. Is that what the Bible says? Said, then the devil done what? Left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Notice, it was Satan and demons coming and attacking him. But in the end, the angels came and done what? Ministered to him. So what do we find out in here? You will always be victorious over the devil. Always. Because of what Jesus did. The devil gets tired of you walking in victory all the time. He gets tired of you knowing who you are in Christ. He gets tired of you constantly enforcing his defeat. That's all you do, enforce what the Bible says. No, I'm not defeated. No, you cannot win. No, you've got to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What happened? Then the devil left him. The devil will leave you alone too if you'll walk in victory. But he's going to come and he's going to keep coming. He's going to keep coming. He's going to keep coming until you show him that you are victorious and you know who you are and you're not going to put up with his mess. You're not going to put up with his test. You're not going to put up with his trials and you're not going to put up with his challenges and you're going to laugh in his face.
Hallelujah. Yes.
The Bible says in closing that the day will come that we'll be standing in heaven and we'll look on the devil. The Bible in Old King James said, look upon him narrowly. And we're going to say it in a good Ohio River Valley slang talk. Well, we can understand it. We're going to say, is this the peak squeak that caused all the havoc on the earth? This little peak squeak? This little peon? This little being? And for years he dominated, controlled things on the earth. He dominated even my life. And you're going to get mad. I know you're not supposed to in heaven, but this is my scenario. You're going to get mad at yourself, especially if you let him dominate you any, and you're going to want to kick yourself in the rear end. Say, oh my God, this pink squeak caused all this trouble. What I say that we ought to do today is just simply have a rear end kicking service and get it over with. Just go ahead and kick yourself in the rear end now and get it over with. You don't have to wait till you get there because the devil is defeated.
Yes.
I would encourage you, do a study on Satan's defeat for your own self. Don't take my word for it. Get in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically and especially, and find out if you've got victory over Satan. Find out if you've got authority over him. And I would encourage you, if you don't have the book, I Believe in Visions. There's a whole chapter devoted to Satan's defeat in there where Jesus appeared to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin and told him how the believer has total victory over the devil. And I'm sure they got them out in the bookstore. If they don't, they'll get them in here and order them in. But they got a lot of stuff out there. But it's good. But study your Bible. Do your own study. and find out about your authority over the devil. And I'll guarantee you, once you understand your spiritual authority and the spiritual truths, and that Satan is already defeated, and then to simply exercise his defeat and enforce his defeat, put it that way, by standing on God's word, you're going to live a lot better life. And you're going to accomplish your mission. And nothing's going to stop you from accomplishing what God called you to do. So Satan cannot stop you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. How do you stop the devil? Well, he gave you several different points here this morning about how to stop the devil and overcome the enemy from trying to stop you from fulfilling the plan of God for your life. I'm not just talking about being in the ministry. I'm talking about everyday life. If you know God has assigned you a job or assigned you something to do, don't go at that job with a down and out attitude. You go to that job, you're talking about how bad it is and how hard it is and how tough it is and how rough it is, you're just playing right into the devil's hands. Because what you say out of your mouth, the devil can cause to come to pass in your life. He only has the authority that you give to him. So just start saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, this is going to be a good day. I've got favor with all the people here in the name of Jesus Christ. And they talk to me like a dog. You don't want to say that. Because if you keep saying they talk to you like a dog, it won't be long before you'll be barking. What? Barking. Everybody else gets a raise, but I don't ever get a raise. My God, I work harder than everybody. A lot of people's problems is 1 inch below their nose. It's called their mouth.
Yeah.
Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you can have what you say. Believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Just because you say something a few times, of course, doesn't mean it's going to happen. But what you say continually out of your mouth eventually is going to register on your spirit as a truth. Because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing God's word. And once you start believing it, it's going to come to pass. So if you're going to believe anything, why not believe good things? Why not start saying good things? Even if you don't sound good now, even if it don't look like it now, start saying what you want to see in your life, and it will be. Start saying what you want to see, and it will be. How do you know? Jesus Christ said so in Mark 11:23. Today is a day of victory. It's not a day of defeat. And so you're going to accomplish God's mission. Start speaking good things over your life. Speak to your checking account. Speak to your pocketbook. Men, speak to your wallet. Good things. Not saying things like, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. Because if you keep saying, I'm so broke I can't pay attention, you won't be able to pay attention. You know what I mean? Say good things. Speak good things. And what's going to happen? It's going to come to pass. The enemy can only do what you allow him to do. How do you give the devil permission to work in your life? Many times by what you say out of your mouth. If you say good things are going to happen and close the door to the devil. Say bad things are going to happen and open the door to the devil. So what are you going to say? Good things. So you just need to make a declaration and make a decision today that you're going to put this into practice. If you got something you need to sell, you go talk to that thing. Now, I know it sounds dumb and I know it looks dumb, but Jesus talked to trees. He talked to wind. He talked to the water. I call you sold in the name of Jesus. Somebody wants you more than I want to sell you. Oh, it'll work. But if you go to saying, the market's flooded. There's so many buyers. There's so many things for sale out there. The market's down and depressed and, we'll never sell this thing. Guess what? You'll never sell it. Because the enemy will make sure you don't. Oh, you've got some knowledge that the world don't have.
That's right.
So that's why you come to church here. Because your pastors teach you these things. So you are a step up, way up above what's going on in the world. Yes, society may be down, the recession may be down, but you can just choose to not participate in the recession. You can choose not to participate in the depression. Don't make me come back there. I'm here. You can make that decision. Why? Because God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227, Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website, www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.